just would encourage you to be attentive to what God wants to say to you through this new series on our spiritual disciplines. And today we're looking at the importance of spending time in God's word, spending time with Jesus. And Michaela is going to read for us from John 15, 1 to 13. So do grab a Bible, and Michaela will read that for us in just a moment. But then Becca, one of our leaders, is going to share what God has put on her heart for us this morning. I'm so excited about what she's going to share. So do listen up, and may God speak to us.
John 15, verses 1 to 13. Today's focus is particularly on verse 11, which reads, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And yes, Lord, I just really pray that you would speak to us clearly. That you would speak to us this morning and show us how there is no greater joy, Lord, than that what can come from you. So I just pray, Lord, that you would be with Becca if she speaks to us, that you would be open in our hearts to accept your spirit to teach us, and that you would bless us this day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Michaela. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you. I'm really thankful to speak with you this morning. Thanks for reading, Kayla, and thank you, Amanda, for that video that just started to help us explore what's going on with a gardener, a vine, branches, what's going on in this picture. So as we dig into that, let me just pray for us again. Lord Jesus, you tell us that apart from you, we can do nothing. And that is true for me right here, right now. So I ask you to fill me with your spirit so that I may bring your word to your people. And I pray, Father, that you would bring your spirit to each one of us to receive your word so that it might bear great fruit in our lives. Amen. A couple of years ago, I was unemployed for about 8 months. I got really, really into a series called Suits. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's about lawyers that wear incredible clothes and have very sassy attitudes. I loved how feisty the characters were. I followed the drama of their working relationships. I loved watching their confidence and the power that they had as they won court battles, and just their ability to have the last word in absolutely every conversation. Well, let's just say I watched a lot of this. I knew I'd been watching a lot when I tried to start adopting some of their mannerisms and try and sassily lawyer my husband Dan when we were in a disagreement. I knew I'd been immersed in it when I started dreaming about them. And I knew I was probably about time to have a break from it when I was waking up wondering how my friends Mike and Rachel and Harvey were doing. What we abide in, what we dwell in, what we remain in matters. It shapes us, it molds our focus, and it transforms what we're like. I'd still take wearing any of their outfits any day. But Jesus is saying in this passage, that we must remain in him, remain in the true vine. The vine throughout the Old Testament was used as a picture for God's people, Israel. Israel was God's vine, and it was meant to be fruitful, to show to the nations who God is, and to fulfill God's restoration plans in this world. Unfortunately, Israel was never particularly fruitful. Everywhere God looked, he was filled with disappointment. And that's a problem, because a fruitless vine is useless. It's not good for anything, except maybe firewood. So the people of God were in trouble. That's the background of our passage today. Jesus then comes and gives himself this amazing title in verse 1. He says, "I am the true vine." In this, he means he is the true people of God, the true humanity. In everything that Israel failed in, Jesus succeeds. He produced and produces all the good fruit the Father was and is looking for. He then goes on to talk about branches. Verse 5 says the branches represent those that belong to Jesus and follow him. A branch has to be connected with the stem for it to receive nutrients. If it's not, it would soon use up all of its own resources and die. But when a branch is connected to the stem, it's able to receive all that it needs for strength, growth, and the production of fruit. As a branch is connected to the vine, we get the life we need from Jesus, his Holy Spirit flowing through us. We get his perfection before God, his power to be fruitful, his joy to live in. It's such a close relationship. Think about it. Branches are directly connected and intertwined with the vine. That's not a distant picture. That's a picture of entwined intimacy. It always amazes me that Jesus wants us to be that close to him, and he wants to be that close to us. What do you think the purpose of this is? Do you know your purpose in this? The purpose of all of this, as this passage says, is to bear loads of fruit. Jesus goes on to say the gardener, aka the Father, helps the vine and the branches to be as fruitful as possible. And that's so exciting. What it's saying is that if we're believers, God wants to involve and include us in his purposes for the whole world, for us to partner with him in his plan to restore all things in creation to Christ. How exciting is that? God's purpose for you as a Christian is to be fruitful, for your life to produce things that shape eternity in ways that give great joy to your soul. It's what we're made for. We shouldn't hope for anything less. But I wonder if life feels like that for you this morning, or if being a Christian sometimes actually just feels quite dry, repetitive. Perhaps joy feels distant. I wonder if you've heard this before, but you don't know the reality of it for yourself. Or I wonder if you've actually had a taste of this, but you long for more and more in your life. For whichever category you might find yourself in, God has things to say to you this morning through this passage that are so important for you and so thrilling. So firstly, let's talk about remaining in God's word. If that's the picture, if that's what all of reality of what life should look like in Christ, if it should look like it's powerful, joy-filled and fruitful, how on earth do we get there? Firstly, we need to be joined to the vine. We need to trust in who Jesus is. The gospel tells us that Jesus is God who came to the world to be with us, to die and to rise again and to rescue us. By believing in that, and because he has risen again, we can then be joined to the vine now and forever. That is how we get joined to Jesus in the first place. We believe in who he says he is. Then, once we're grafted into the vine, once we're a branch, we have a part to play. There's a repeating refrain in this passage. Did you notice? Remain in me. Skim the passage with me. Look. It's in verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, 9, 10. In some of those verses, it's even there twice. That means it's got to be important, right? We as humans, we are so desperately needy. If we are deprived of food or water or air, we're soon in a lot of trouble. We are so much needier than we realise. Think about it. We constantly need life to come to us from the outside. If air isn't available, our lungs start to struggle. If food isn't available, our stomachs start to grumble, not to mention hunger soon is apparent. This is true physically, but it's also true spiritually. To stay in the vine, to stay healthy and to grow spiritually, we have to remain in Jesus. To remain in Jesus is, as verse 7 says, to remain in his words and for his words to remain in us. Every day we need the living bread, Jesus. And every day the Spirit offers him to us in the word. To remain in something is to dwell in something, to let it infuse into us and shape us, as suits seeped into my brain and shape my dreams and my thoughts. Getting into the living word of God and getting the living word of God into us is how we remain. And so the discipline we're going to talk about this week in order to grow in joy is, no shocker, reading the Bible, as that is how we're going to get to know Jesus. And we live in a country where the Bible couldn't be more accessible to us. It's in our language. We can download it instantly on our phones. We can carry it with us wherever we go. It's the most popular book in the world, and it's the best-selling book of the year, every single year. If all of that is true, why do we find the Bible so hard to read? How do you approach the Bible? Perhaps you remember the Nativity from school, but you've never really picked the Bible up and read it as an adult. Why not try it this week? It just might change your life. If you want to explore it with anyone, please be in touch with us at Holland Road. We would love to do that with you. If you're a Christian, I wonder, do you want to read the Bible but struggle to? I do, all the time. And in one sense, that's so normal. Christians are people who have sensed something of the love and life and joy that is to be found in Scripture, but for some reason often find it hard to dive into it again and again. Do you find it hard to fit into your day? Life is busy, right? It's another thing to put on our to-do lists. And even if we do get to it, I can sometimes rush it to tick it off the to-do list quicker. Perhaps you open it, and in familiarity, you know the gist of the passage already and you easily feel bored. Could some of our resistance be due to how we approach the word in the first place? I've been reading a little book called Before You Open Your Bible. It was on the table, but it's clearly not. And it's all about how to prepare your heart for reading the Bible. In it, Matt Smethurst talks about the three things we often think about when we first wake up. They're true of me. I wonder if they're true of you. Firstly, what do I need to get done today? Secondly, your stomach goes, what is for breakfast? And thirdly, grab my phone. What is going on social media? And these are always things that my brain naturally thinks of when I wake up. Perhaps you can think of things that you would add to that list. Part of remaining, part of being a branch, is cultivating an appetite for God's word in your life. We've been made clean. We've been made new by Christ, but we've still got to put new attitudes on. Do we really want to get the dishwasher loaded and clothes in the washing machine in before work, as worthy as those tasks are? Over spending time with the King of Kings and Creator of the universe? Could we scroll through social media for 10 mindless minutes after seeking Jesus for the day ahead? I don't know how you found lockdown. For the first few months, our families and our friends were really aware that we weren't seeing each other or anyone really. And suddenly the Zoom calls just went up. Weekly check-ins, quizzes, game nights, catch-ups. Even though there wasn't that much to catch up on, it was wonderful to spend time together. And we made special times to communicate, to care for one another, to talk and to listen. There are just no shortcuts in relationships. These are the only ways in which they can be sustained and in which they can grow. In the same way, for us to grow in our relationship with God, it's so essential for us to need to know that we need to spend time with him. We need to take time with God, talking to him, listening to him, bringing ourselves to him. Let's not let ourselves be so easily distracted from that. And you might reply to that with, well, Becca, I've tried. This works for others, but God doesn't seem to talk to me. Or even, God wouldn't want to speak to me, would he? He wouldn't want to spend time with me, surely. Do you know what it costs the Father to graft you in as a vine, graft you into the vine as a branch? It costs the Son's life. Verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Israel's sin disappointed God. Humanity's sin angers God. And it cuts us all off from him. But on the cross, Jesus was cut off from the Father, so we don't have to be. In his death, our sin was intertwined with him so close that he became our sin. But in his humanity, he was separated from the Father in death because of it. Why? For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. His joy is knowing you intimately. Never, ever second guess if Jesus wants to spend time with you. He died to make it possible. Time with us is his joy. He then wants us to grow in our relationship with him, allowing his word to restore every part of who we are. Do you believe God's word is for you in that way? I think for many of us, until we believe that reading the Bible and spending time with God really is for our joy and for his joy, we will happily go days, weeks, months, even years without it. Perhaps pray even now that God would help your heart hunger for his word, because it's where life is found. Sometimes we just have to make a start or start again. When I go weeks without seeing or chatting to a best friend, I can sometimes momentarily forget how much I enjoy their company. Then the moment I see them, all I want to do is fill my diary out and make as many plans with them as possible. Intimacy breeds more intimacy. We're addicted to it as humans, and we're made for intimacy with God. As we start to experience it, we'll want to know it more and more. Christian social activist George Miller, talking about prioritizing his intimacy with God, said, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day to was, have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much might I serve the Lord, how much might I glorify the Lord, but how much might I get my soul in a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was give myself to the reading of the word of God and to meditation on it. So let's battle with those reasons to not pick up our Bibles hungrily. Name them, share the reasons with others, and pray against them in each other's lives. But what are the reasons to pick it up and remain in Jesus's word? Do you know how to train a banker to know something is wrong with a banknote? You don't give them fakes. You give them so many real ones that they get to know the real one intricately, so they can instantly spot a fake. When we dwell in the word of God so much so that we remain in it and it in us, it means that when other things come in, lies, accusations of Satan, temptations of the flesh, we know that they are not truths to build any part of our lives on. We're able to recognize instantly that they're lies because we know the truth so well. The Spirit's aim through the word is to take our eyes off ourselves and fix our focus instead on Jesus in all of his grace and glory. That's where transformation is found. I love the conversation Jesus has with his friends when some of Jesus' followers are starting to desert him in John 6. And he says to his disciples, his best friends, are you going to leave me too? I.e., are you going to choose not to remain in me too? But Peter replies with, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom else shall we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. The stakes are so high. Sometimes I read the Bible and the passage I read, I think, gosh, this is hard to understand. But verse 5 is so crystal clear. It says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Therefore, it is laughable that we would try to do anything without remaining in him. There are many things that we have FOMO about in this world. Fear of missing out. For some of us, it controls quite a lot of our time, leads us to not be able to say no, not have healthy boundaries. And we can often have FOMO for crazy things. And yet here, I think this is an example of Jesus saying, have FOMO. Do not miss out. In my presence, there is joy and blessing for you. So do not miss it. How do we remain? We're going to hear from a few people who've kindly agreed to share some of the ways in which they remain in Jesus, the true vine.
How have I remained in Jesus? Now, that's a very good question. I accepted Jesus into my life. Sometime later, while in prayer, I experienced the presence of God in a very powerful way, which I later learned was being filled by the Holy Spirit. The first thing I do and think about whenever I am doubt or feeling fearful is that amazing encounter I had with God, which I believe he gave me because I can be very sceptical, but it's been an anchor for my life, remembering the powerful input of love I felt that evening.
During lockdown, I've been working from home, so what that's meant is more flexible hours. And I was already in the routine of praying and reading the Bible to start the day, but it's meant I've had more time, really more time to reflect and just to wait in God's presence and feel that calmness and that peace, and also to listen. And very often I found that there has come a word of encouragement, a word of comfort, word of challenge, or word of guidance that's really been helpful for the day. And in addition to that, and my walks in the morning are on my own, so I use that time to reach out to someone or connect with someone on the phone. And very often those conversations will end in prayer. And what I've found is that word that I've been thinking about in the morning, it's just in my heart, it's in my mind, then I can pass that on with whoever I'm talking to. And then that becomes a blessing for them as well as a blessing for me.
What helps me to keep on growing and maintaining my love and fellowship with the Lord is the disciplines I try to apply to my life, particularly with regard to Bible reading and prayer and fellowship with others. And I have a reading plan that involves portions of the Old Testament, the Psalms or Proverbs, and then a portion of the New Testament. And I try to read the Bible chronologically that way each day. My wife and I also meet in the morning, and we go through the Genesis reading at the moment, and that's been a great help to us both, and as well as just wanting to spend times of intimacy with the Lord and just listening to him.
I was asked about abiding in God when you're in a really busy situation. But a couple of years ago, I was in a really busy job, really intense, and I'm somebody who finds it quite hard to be still. I don't rest naturally. I'm always want to be busy and want to be productive. But as the heat rose in my job and it got more intense, I realised how much more I needed to pray. So I tried all kinds of different things. But in the morning, I would always try to read something that would fill me up for the day, something from the Bible. Sometimes I would just go straight to the Bible, but sometimes I'd use devotional books with a little bit for each day. And then at the end of the day, I would sit down, and however knackered I was, I would just write down the things that I was thankful for, and I still do that. And it's so helpful because you learn to just have God bookend your day.
Thank you so much to those in that video for sharing with us. The passage is so clear. Only by remaining in Jesus, allowing his word to transform our hearts and our lives, do we remain in his love and bear fruit. But why should we want that? Secondly, and much more briefly, fruit is all about our part to play in restoring God's world. I said earlier that we have an incredible calling, an incredible part to play in what God is doing on earth to restore this broken world, to bring his kingdom here on earth. We don't grow fruit literally. I'm not asking you all to go and own an allotment or aim to grow bananas out of your ears. But Amanda told us in that great video about the fruit of the Spirit, about the byproducts, if you like, of spending time with Jesus, the things in our lives that show that we're joined to him. Like my dreams showed I'd spent far too much time in suits. One of these fruits is joy. I loved what Judy said about her phone calls with her friends on her walks. She spent time with Jesus in the morning and was blessed with truth. She then talked to a friend and was able to encourage them with what God had revealed to her, extending the kingdom of God around her, both in her own heart as she's encouraged in joy that she's got something to share, and also she's got a truth to build her own life on, and also in her friend's heart as they in turn receive that blessing. That's the kind of life that God is calling us to. As we remain in God's words, we also remain in his love. Glenn Scrivener talks about this cool picture of a champagne flute tower. You've got this pyramid of glasses, and as you pour champagne into the top glass and allow it to cascade down, it overflows and fills the rest of the glasses. Jesus is like the top glass, and as the Father loves him, he pours his love into him and it overflows to us. Verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Did you hear that? Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. How is it that the Father has loved the Son? For all eternity. Their love is unbreakable. It's without beginning. It's without end. Their love is the original love that predated and produced the entire universe. And now Jesus says it's that love that overflows to you and to me. Bearing fruit is not about what we do. It's not about making ourselves love God or love others. It's about the life of Jesus working in us as we remain in the vine, trusting him, loving him. We are part of the vine with the Holy Spirit in us and free recipients of the Father's love. And as a result, fruit grows in us. Fruit is what Jesus wants to produce in us rather than what we do. And the key to bearing this fruit, to knowing this joy, is receiving the overflow of the love that Jesus has for us. The key is remaining in Jesus. And verse 10 says to keep his commands. The key to joy is therefore our obedience. Does that mean grace is conditional? Maybe you're thinking, Becca, I thought the whole point of Jesus' gift to us, the whole point of a new life, was that it's unconditional. But now you're saying we have to do something? Which one is grace? Freely unconditional or with conditions? I'd say it's both at the same time. Grace, God's love, is completely conditional. But Jesus is the one that has fulfilled the conditions so that it can be unconditional for us. To know the benefit and experience the blessing of unconditional grace, we must therefore stay close to Jesus. The joy that then comes from staying close is wonderful. It's not glib joy. Life can still be really hard, and for some people it's hard all the time. But it is a joy that can be blessing in trials. So as we finish, just think for a moment. What would we look like if we allowed Jesus this? Just imagine. Imagine the power we would have to build his kingdom. Imagine the delight in our Lord that we would have together. Imagine the love we would know for one another. And imagine the joy we would know as we participate in Jesus's joy. So let's remain. Every week in the series, there's going to be a challenge presented to you to go away and do. And mine is super simple, and I probably didn't need this long to talk about it. It's quite simply, spend some time with Jesus. I'd love you all to get your diaries out right now. If you're watching on your phone and your calendar's on your phone, you can't do that. Go old school. Go grab a piece of paper and write down in capital letters, book time in my diary straight away after the live stream. But if you have your diary, plan in some extended time with Jesus this coming week, right now. If you normally spend 5-10 minutes in the morning with Jesus, find a time where you could perhaps spend an hour, half an hour, or even a whole afternoon, depending on what else goes on in your life. And you can do something fun. It doesn't have to be a quiet time. Go on a walk, paint, dance, take photographs, bake, whatever you like. But do it with Jesus, reading or listening to his word at the same time and responding in action, in word, in song, in journaling, inviting the Spirit into this time with you. And just bear in mind that keeping that time might not be easy. Satan loves to distract us. I put a morning and an afternoon in the last 2 weeks. And it's those times where people have phoned me. It's those times where I've overslept. It's those times that tasks that I thought were done came back. and had a problem with them and had a deadline. So when you've booked your time in, tell a friend when it is and ask them to help you keep it. Thank you for spending time with me this morning. But thank you for spending time with Jesus. We're going to continue to do that now as Katie leads us in a song. And let me pray for us as we finish. Jesus, we just acknowledge your presence here with us, right here, right now. We thank you for it. We thank you that you have made the best thing for us available at any time to us. There is no limit to the amount of time we could spend with the best thing for our souls. So we just praise you for that. And we thank you that you made a way possible for that. And we invite you right now to come and minister to us, to come and speak to us, to come and help us. We ask that you might help us receive your love right now and your joy. Help us remain this next week. Help us keep those times that we've put in our diary. And I pray for each person watching right now that they would be sweet times with you, full of encouragement, love, joy, and great purpose. In your name, amen.